afternoon, and welcome to the Grace Hour. We're doing a capstone on this great week. We've been talking about the filling of the Holy Spirit. My name is Pastor Rinaldo Brown, and I'm in studio with Pastor Shibeli. And we've been talking about this theme of the filling of the Holy Spirit, probably one of the most challenging questions, I would say. Many believers struggle with this, mature or immature. They struggle with, what is the filling of the Spirit? How do I discern it? And it's part of a broader question about the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for joining us today. Hopefully you're watching us on Google Podcasts or YouTube or Apple or Spotify. We're on a lot of different podcasts. You can also catch us as usual on gracehour.org, YouTube Live, Facebook Live. You can connect with us, and we'd love to hear from you. Thank you this week for your calls. We really thank you for that. You can call us locally at 410-483-3700, or you can call us internationally at 1-800-338-7060. You can send in your questions and your comments, or even call us and let us know. It's a great topic, the Holy Spirit, and I want to warn you in advance, we will not cover the entire doctrine today, but I want to tell you this, it's a great topic to talk about, because oftentimes we have a lot of questions about the filling of the Holy Spirit, particularly today's emphasis, which is false manifestations of the Holy Spirit. It's amazing how so many people, they don't misrepresent God the Father. They don't really misrepresent God the Son. They attack the Son by misrepresenting the Spirit, and that's a different thought in itself. But at any rate, we're here with Pastor Shibeli, and we'll begin with some words from him.
I love the understanding that we have and we see in the scriptures about what Jesus says about the Holy Spirit. Oftentimes mm-hmm. that's disregarded, mm-hmm. and we will go to the epistles, which are the truth, absolute word of God. But when Jesus speaks in John 14, 15, and 16, he gives us a lot of truth about the person of the Holy Spirit. I think, and I'm sure you've touched it this week, but so often in realms of Christianity, they don't speak about the Spirit in the way of him being a person.
Yes.
Where it's just very personalized in John 14, 15, and 16, when he has come, when mm-hmm, he. And that is really key, that he's the third person of the Trinity, absolutely equal and having the same attributes as the Father and the Son. So the emphasis would be for the enemy, okay, using demon spirits to attack the truth about the Holy Spirit, to get people to be thinking incorrectly about the Holy Spirit. Therefore, a manifestation of the Holy Spirit is seen in many different ways, and then people begin to think that is what truth is all about. And it really is a deception that can take place. And we see this happening just about everywhere. Also, 1 John chapter 4,
yes,
verses 1 through 6 and 7, really speaks about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the person of God himself, and one of the keys is the emphasis would be on the Word of God.
Yes.
Because in 2 Peter 1, 19 through 21, 2 Timothy 3, 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and the Holy Spirit writing the Word of God, the Spirit of God and the Word of God, how key it is. How will I know about the Holy Spirit if I don't study the Bible?
Yes.
In other words, like I'm going to come up with maybe an emotional idea that's very abstract and nonspecific about the Holy Spirit through my own experiences per se. It becomes experience orientated rather than being orientated to the truth.
Sure.
So the key would really be is understanding what the truth of the Bible says about the person of the Holy Spirit. And you can see that as Jesus explains the ministry of the Holy Spirit in John 14, 15, and 16. Then you see in Acts chapter 2, the beginning of the personal ministry of the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts, and really that being so key. And whatnot today. And we have, there's so much out there that is so abstract and so false, is a false representation, a misrepresentation of the person of the Spirit, and that can take place. And of course, demons are very good at that because they've been practicing that for 2,000 years.
Sure.
You know, they've got their doctrines of devils in 1 Timothy 4:1, seducing spirits.
Yes.
Right away you can see that, seducing spirits and doctrines that devils teach. And so if we can get, and he can get Christianity to really have an abstract view non-specific view, a contrary to the Bible view of the Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. then what you end up having happen is with the wrong view of the character and the nature of the Holy Spirit, then the manifestation is going to be totally contrary to what the truth is. And then people are going off in tangents through their emotions, yep. through their abstract understanding, through denominationalism that's contrary to truth about the person of the Holy Spirit. And so we end up having quite a problem on our hands mm-hmm. that only the truth of the Holy Spirit can really take care of, can really represent in a correct way. So how important it is for us to realize that the Spirit of God wrote the Bible. Mm-hmm. And really, without understanding that, where do we begin with this, you know? What's taking place? Then you have man's understanding and human reason about what is the person of the Holy Spirit, who is the person of the Holy Spirit, and the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. And so man's reason and man's thinking comes in. Religious movements start. You can see them.
Yes.
And certainly some aspects of movements that have started that are would be called ministry of the Holy Spirit movements, there are some truths to them without a doubt.
Okay.
There are some things that are true, but there are at times extremes
okay.
in experiences, and we begin to take the extreme or the experience as really the truth when it is really not the truth. It could be the movement of God. In other words, like what does the Holy Spirit do in Acts chapter 5 when it comes to Ananias and Sapphira? Well, two people are dead mm-hmm. in the church because they lied to the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And so a person would think, oh, does that mean if somebody lies to the Holy Spirit, they're going to be killed mm-hmm. in church per se? You know, and those are sovereign acts of God that
right.
took place at that particular time. So this is an exciting program today about the ministry
yes.
of the Holy Spirit and mm-hmm. the truth of the Holy Spirit and the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Because Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3, it says seven times, he that has an ear to hear, mm-hmm. hear what? You're hearing truth. He that has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit
yes.
says to the church. Don't let him hear what man says to the church, what a mm-hmm. denomination says to the church. And sometimes there can be truth in that and sometimes not. But he that has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. So the Spirit is going to speak truth to the church. Mm-hmm. And it's really interesting to me that today there's so much thinking contrary to the Spirit and the truth and the church, really, the Spirit, the truth, and the church. And so somebody can get up and say, well, the Holy Spirit said this, when it's totally contrary to the Bible. Mm-hmm. You know, I heard a man once say the Holy Spirit told him to divorce his wife and marry another woman. I said, you know what? Wrong spirit, my friend.
Yep.
That's a demonic spirit. And you have mistaken mm-hmm. A demonic spirit for the Holy Spirit. It's not the Holy Spirit, because he will never operate contrary to truth. Well, the Holy Spirit doesn't lead me to evangelize. You know what?
Yeah, yeah.
Just read the Bible. Mm-hmm. The Holy Spirit's talking a lot about evangelism. Mm-hmm. The Holy Spirit, you know, and all the things that people come up with today as a manifestation of the Holy Spirit, or what they say the Spirit is saying mm-hmm. contrary to truth, is nothing but a lie from Satan himself mm-hmm. and the demons. So
that's interesting that you said that, because what's interesting is that you're connecting the Spirit with truth when people will use the Holy Spirit as a credit card to not obey truth.
Right.
To live outside the scriptures. The Holy Spirit, I heard from the Holy Spirit. I had a guy one time in Zimbabwe tell me that a church leader told him that he was supposed to sell his car. The Holy Spirit told him, you're supposed to sell your car and give the proceeds to the church. And if you do, God will give you two.
Sure.
What's funny about it became a huge case, because it was a $100,000 car. It became a huge case. The guy sued him, took him to court to get back the vehicle. And the court was very careful with it, because, again, it's church and state. But it's very interesting that people will avoid the truth by living thus says the Holy Spirit, and you hide behind that, and then who can question that? But what the truth does is it gives boundaries to my leading from the Holy Spirit. So, and let's back up a little bit. Okay, there's the gift of the Spirit, you said in John 14, 15, and 16, the gift of the Spirit, and then there's 22 gifts from the Spirit, and then there's the fruit of the Spirit. So there's three manifestations there that involve the Spirit. And how do I discern the gifts of the Spirit, which is the person of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit, from false manifestations, and you've given the answer. It's truth.
Yeah.
The Bible.
It's the truth. And because people do not know the truth, people seem to have a tendency nowadays to avoid the truth. And churches, are churches teaching the truth?
Mm-hmm.
And are they emphasizing the Bible? And this is really very interesting to me because Jesus is the Word, John 1:1 and 1:14.
Mm-hmm.
And the Holy Spirit is the truth
mm-hmm.
of the Word of God. So how can you speak about Jesus doing this or saying this, the Spirit saying this or doing this, without truth as being a part of it, without the Word of God? And so this is a satanic plot mm-hmm. to get people to be in a direction that's contrary to truth, contrary to the Spirit,
mm-hmm.
and by just removing truth and saying, well, you have the Holy Spirit and God will lead you, but God will not lead you contrary to truth.
That's it.
That's the thing. God's not going to lead anyone contrary to the truth. You know, it's interesting to me how so few churches are involved with evangelism today and missions.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, what does the Holy Spirit say about evangelism and missions? Mm-hmm. You just read the Bible and you can see what the Holy Spirit has to say about evangelism and missions. And yet, how can you say that you are not operating in those particular aspects of a ministry, evangelism and missions, because the Spirit said not to.
You're spiritual.
Yeah, you're spiritual.
We're led of the Spirit not to do the things that the Word of God clearly says to do. It's like the Holy Spirit becomes this opportunity to live outside of the Word of God, and they use these manifestations, these
yes.
demonstrations and manifestations, and say this is the Holy Spirit. And it's interesting the kind of behavior that happens in the church, and we say that's the Spirit, the Spirit told me this, that's the Spirit.
A lot of subjectivity.
Yes.
There's the problem, like thinking it's the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how am I going to hear what the Spirit says to me as an individual Christian? Number one, am I going to become a person that is studying the Bible?
Okay.
The Spirit wrote the Bible. The Spirit lives in me. How about the two connecting? The Holy Spirit in my life and mm-hmm. the Spirit that wrote the Bible. I study the Bible. I read the Bible. Mm-hmm. I have Bible doctrine. I have truth in my mind. Number two, I'm under preaching.
Mm-hmm.
Am I a person that the Spirit speaks to the church?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's what it says in Revelation 2 and 3, 7 times.
Yes.
He that has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. So I'm under preaching. I'm in the church.
Mm-hmm.
And in the church, I can also have an impartation of the Holy Spirit from other members of the body of Christ, the church. Mm-hmm. So I've got it from the Word of God, study to show thyself approved unto God, 2 Timothy 2:15.
Mm-hmm.
Then I've got it in as I'm in a church and I'm listening to preaching and teaching. Then there's body life and the Spirit is speaking to me in the body. And oftentimes it's people that are doing it don't even know that they're doing it,
wow.
but you are just being receptive to what the Spirit is saying to you. And then just obedience, okay?
Mm.
He gives the Holy Spirit to them who obey him, Acts mm-hmm. chapter 5, right? Mm-hmm. That's interesting, you know? In other words, like I refuse to obey the Word of God, but yet I'm going to say that the Spirit's leading me.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, how can that be? In other words, I don't love my wife. In other words, I don't pray. In other words, I don't read the Bible. I don't evangelize. I'm not involved in a ministry. Yet I say the Holy Spirit's leading me. But you're doing everything contrary to what the Holy Spirit says.
Mm-hmm.
So how can the Holy Spirit be leading you? What's end up happening is a manifestation of something that's false,
wow.
not something that's true. And by the way, that has actually led, false manifestations of the Spirit have led to movements
yes.
that have really brought people away from the truth.
Mm-hmm.
It brought people away from the truth, whereas the truth is not even regarded anymore.
Mm-hmm.
How many churches really emphasize the Scriptures,
mm-hmm.
teach Bible,
mm-hmm.
Bible college, Bible studies, teaching the Word of God and from the pulpit, and answering questions and whatnot. And really, what would, if the enemy has any plan at all, is to just remove the Bible. Okay, once you're saved, you're sealed by the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 4:31-13. He cannot remove. The enemy knows this. He cannot mm-hmm. remove. Sometimes Christians don't know this,
yeah.
but the enemy knows that he cannot take the Holy Spirit from you.
Okay.
You've been born again and sealed by the Holy Spirit, indwelt forever.
Okay,
wow. And yet The enemy knows he can't take it. But there's movements today in Christianity, even by believers, that will tell people they can lose the Holy Spirit based upon something that they have done. Okay, based upon disobedience to the Word of God, or living in sin, or partaking in something like that,
right,
and whatnot. Yet it's so interesting. So the enemy wants us to think that the Holy Spirit can be taken away.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and that is totally contrary to the truth.
So you say, and this is interesting. Without the truth, the Holy Spirit is self-defined. Then yes. I can say anything I want about the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
I can behave any way I want without the and I can have the Holy Spirit and still not operate in the Holy Spirit.
Absolutely.
Without the truth.
Absolutely. I can be born again, mm-hmm. have a spiritual birth, but never obey, be under the hearing of the Holy Spirit.
Wow.
And in the Word of God. And so I go contrary to what the Spirit says in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see it all the time. People don't, okay, let's just talk about one simple principle of tithing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, God's never led me to tithe. Really? When's the last time you read the Bible?
See, there it is.
When's the last time you read the Bible? Matthew chapter 23, Malachi 3, 16 and 17. Mm-hmm. So you're telling me God hasn't led you to do something that the Bible says we should do. God hasn't led us to do missions.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
God hasn't led us to have an evangelical program.
Mm-hmm.
God hasn't led us to teach the Bible, you know, have mm-hmm. Bible college training.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, maybe he's led you to do that. Hasn't led us to do that. Really?
Yeah.
That is so interesting to me. I've heard that from people.
Sure.
In ministries, especially operating in Africa,
mm-hmm.
where people say, why would you need Bible school when you have the Holy Spirit? He will teach you the truth. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, then why did Paul have a 3-year Bible school in Ephesus?
That's right.
In Acts 19 and 20.
Mm-hmm.
Why did Jesus teach the Bible for 3.5 years, day and night, sometimes they say 12, 14 hours a day, which would be equivalent to 7 to 10 years of Bible school. So Deuteronomy chapter 6 and chapter 7, especially chapter 6, teaching the Word of God, Ezra 7, you know, about the Word of God and teaching. So the Bible is telling us to teach the Bible, but you say the Spirit has not led you to, you know, teach the Bible and train people in the Word of God. So you are saying something contrary to what the Bible says. So you are not Spirit filled and you are not Spirit led.
Wow.
You are just like assuming that to be true through some subjective seducing that's happened to you in your mind based upon an initiation from another kingdom.
You've touched on something that's interesting. Most of Orthodox Christianity, fundamental Christianity, mm-hmm. when they think about false manifestations of the Spirit, they think about behavior in church. You've taken it to a deeper level. You're saying one of the false manifestations of the Spirit is no Bible.
No Bible.
They're not saying that. They're just saying, okay, if you speak in a special language, you laugh or you bite the pulpit or you behave a certain way, that's a false manifestation that is seen. But there's a deeper one where, okay, this is the false manifestation of the Spirit, that I can have a Holy Spirit-focused church and no Bible.
Well, think about that in John chapter 8, verses 31 through 37. My word to the Pharisees has no place in you.
Mm.
And then Ephesians 4:27, connect the two verses,
mm-hmm.
neither give place to the devil.
Mm.
So you've removed the Word of God from a Christian or a church,
mm-hmm.
then you give an opportunity. No, of course we understand not where the devil can come in to a person.
Mm-hmm.
A person that's born again and saved and has the Holy Spirit living in them can never have a demon in them. That's impossible. They can be oppressed on the outside. They can have initiations coming at them. So when the Holy Spirit lives in me, the Holy Spirit becomes inoperative because I don't care about truth. So here's the Holy Spirit just sitting there. He's kind of like in a retirement mode because you will not and I will not,
mm-hmm.
you know, read truth, study truth, think about truth, and look to be obedient to the truth that the Holy Spirit himself wrote.
Wow.
This is so interesting.
That's a great thought today. I mean, I know a lot of us, when Christians, we think about the extremes of Christianity where people, it's a dog and pony show during the worship service and different things. Oh, that's a false manifestation of the Spirit. I can see that very plainly.
Yeah.
Or that person says, sell your cars, and you hear that story and you laugh and say, that would never happen to me and that doesn't happen in my church. But how about the false manifestation of a spirit that doesn't lead to the Word?
Doesn't even lead to the Word.
That's the deeper one.
And see, the enemy is very tricky.
Mm-hmm.
He will throw those other things out there.
Yes.
and just to get people occupied. Oh, that's not the spirit.
Right.
But they're not reading the Bible. Mm-hmm. They're not studying the Bible. That's, so if I can remove the truth, well, and what has taken place in Christianity over hundreds and hundreds of years, decades, is the systematic removal of truth.
Wow.
Removal of the Word of God from the Christian church, from the Christian individual. How many people read the Bible today? I mean, when you think about what happened hundreds and hundreds of years ago, even in the early 1900s, there was such an emphasis on the scriptures in churches. Now there is not an emphasis on the scriptures. There's an emphasis on miracles. There's an emphasis on prayer. There's an emphasis on all kinds of entertainment and music and what's going on. But is there an emphasis on teaching? Teaching, preaching, and teaching the Word of God. This is the thing that's missing today. And it was said by Paul in 2 Timothy 3:1, in the last days, there'll be seducing spirits, doctrines of demons. 1 Timothy 4:1, 2 Timothy 3:1. Dangerous times. What are dangerous times? No Word of God. Read 2 Timothy 3:1.
Let me read that 1 Timothy 4:1. Now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter days, latter time, some shall depart from the faith, and watch the connection here, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. They make the false link with the wrong spirit and the wrong word.
And when it says depart from the faith, it's the definite article talking about doctrine.
Yes.
And then you see in verses 11 through 16, what's Paul's emphasis to Timothy? The word.
Yeah, these things command and teach. Yes.
You know, give attendance till I come. Okay, meditate upon these things. And then you see the same thing in 2 Timothy 3:1. Okay, in the last days, there'll be perilous times.
Yes.
And that's the same word for chalepos that's used in the Mark 5 demoniac, that the definition there. And what is the emphasis again? In verses 10, 11 through 16 and on, is the emphasis is the word of God again.
Yes.
So in dangerous, demonically dangerous times, seducing spirits, the Bible. Yeah. So the Bible is the answer in 1 Timothy 4. The Bible is the answer in 2 Timothy 3.
Mm-hmm.
So what the enemy says, well, here's what I'm going to do. I am going to do through every effort I can and I can make is remove the Bible and the truth and the Word of God. Mm-hmm. So you have Christian schools, so you have Bible schools that don't even teach the Bible. They have Bible schools, they'll teach church history, they'll teach different things about culture and whatnot. Will they teach line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little? Do Christians know the Bible today? I think Bible knowledge today is at a low point as far as in Christianity being concerned. Maybe in the West. I don't know about everybody else.
But there's a huge promotion of the Spirit. There are more, and you go to Christian bookstores, there are more books on the Holy Spirit than any other book in the Christian bookstore. But what does it say in John 4:24? Those who worship me must worship me in spirit.
And truth.
And truth.
Yeah.
But it seems like the back half of that verse is missing. This is good stuff. We'd love to hear from you. Call us locally, 410-483-3700.
How about this one, too? The Father seeks those to worship in spirit. Not only, and he says, he uses the word must. You must worship. If you're going to worship, you must. You must. It is a necessity in the nature of the case. You must worship in spirit and truth. And the Father is seeking. See, the Father is not just seeking lost souls.
Sure.
Luke 19:10. He's seeking people to worship in spirit and in truth. And this is very sad today that we have another Father who's trying to draw people away from the truth and the spirit. And maybe he doesn't immediately go after the spirit, but he goes after the truth.
Yeah.
And we have people today, we have Christians today that know very little about the Bible. Very little about the Bible.
But they claim to know a lot about the spirit. What's shocking is that people have grown in their experience in the spirit, but they've actually depreciated in their experience in the word. And the Bible said these two move together.
Yeah.
Anyway, we want to hear from you with great topic today. Great thoughts from Pastor Shabelli. 1-800-338-7060 internationally and locally. 410-483-3700. We have a caller on line one. Kevin, you're on the Grace Hour.
Hey, Pastor Shabelli and Pastor Renato, thank you for this message. I can attest to everything you're saying because when I was, you know, in other places, there was a remnant in the church and they loved God, but the teaching was way off. So then you start to live by the.
You know what, Kevin? Let me step in right away then I'll let you finish. How do you love God and not love the Word? That's a lie.
Wow.
That's not the truth. You cannot love God without, if you don't even care about the Bible, you don't care about, you don't love the Word.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'll be honest with you. I have people, I don't care what ministry they're in. Mm-hmm. They say they love God, but they never open their Bible. Wait a minute. Like, Jesus wants to speak to me in the Bible.
But they say they're spiritual.
They love God.
But they're spiritual, and they say they're spirit-filled.
Yeah, that's deception.
That's today's Christianity.
See, what is deception, by the way? Deception is a false appearance through words of the mouth, activity of the life. It's got nothing to do with the truth. It's a false appearance. And the enemy loves to bring a false appearance.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you see in Acts chapter 8, Simon the sorcerer.
Yes.
You can see in Acts chapter 16, the woman with the spirit of divination. She comes out and said, "These are the sons of the Most High God."
Mm-hmm.
They show unto you the way of salvation. And Paul says, "Come out of her." That's a demon.
Wow.
It doesn't sound like a demon, does it?
No.
These are the sons of the Most High God. By the way, Paul recognized it because I will be like the Most High, Isaiah 14.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the devil said. So what we have today, and Kevin, and I'm sure you've seen aspects of this, is we have people that are claiming to be very spiritual, but know nothing about the truth. I met a man one time. He told me he was an apostle. I said, being an apostle, I respect that. Of course, I don't buy that. I mean, you could be a sent one.
Yeah.
You're not one of the 12. Sorry, there's you know, the 11 and then the addition of one.
Yeah.
And whatnot. But you can be a sent one with a commission.
Yeah.
Small A. I said, so, okay, so you are a commissioned one, and you are telling me you have this position in the church. Could you give me at least 2 to 3 verses on the Trinity? You believe in the Trinity, right? He goes, absolutely. It's the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Give me 2 or 3 verses. Couldn't give me one. Hmm. You know why? You know what I said to him? You're just a little boy.
Hmm.
You shouldn't be like walking around with this collar on, proclaiming who you are. You don't even know the Bible.
Hmm.
And that's really sad, because there's a lot of Christianity that's walking around praising the Lord, so-called. I like what Psalm 56 says, I think 3 times, in God, I will praise his word.
Yeah.
Praise the word.
Yeah.
You know, so what we have today is we have all kinds of things going on in Christianity and claiming that they're spiritual, but there's no truth.
I want to touch on that after this phone call with Kevin, because the argument is, and this is the big word here, anointing.
Yeah.
That if I'm anointed, I don't need the scriptures. That's where it gets out of control. Kevin, go ahead.
Yes, that's exactly what you said. So people begin because they don't have truth. They don't know the finished work. They don't know that they're forgiven forever and going to heaven. They begin to work out of their wounds, and they live by the light of their own self-made fire. And because of that, you have all kinds of problems, and then people giving up. And then so for me in the church here now, I've had to be bled out of all that wrong doctrine. And it just happens through love after love, love from all the body members. And it just begins to heal you. And as it begins to heal you, then you know what God wants you to do, and it's truth and the Holy Spirit mixed. And then there are sovereign times also that God moves, even in these places, moves by the Holy Spirit according to truth, but it's few and far between.
Well, I like that, Kevin. I like the fact that we have to be careful on the Orthodox side of the church, that we don't say that the Holy Spirit doesn't move. He does move, but he doesn't move divorced from truth.
Absolutely.
And that's got to be the key. Thank you for your comments, Kevin. We'll get back to you. Thank you, sir. God bless you.
How about people that, you know, they talk about the Spirit and love.
Yeah.
But they don't talk about the Spirit and truth. They don't talk about love and truth. Remember what John said a number of times in his letters? Love in the truth. You love in the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Can you really love according to the way God loves, contrary to truth?
Mm-hmm.
In other words, if I say I love, do I love? I love the person, but do I love what they're doing?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
No, I don't. I may love a person that has committed a crime, but I don't like the crime that they've committed. I don't love that. I hate that.
Mm-hmm.
If you love, then you hate evil. You cannot say you love and then you like the evil that's going on. That's impossible. Then it will be love divorced from truth. And God is love, but I am the way, the truth, mm-hmm. and the life. God is truth. Okay? So God is love,
right,
as to his nature and character, but God is truth. So how do you take away How do you, some people operate in love without truth.
Yes.
They will become sentimental. They will allow people to do things, even in their own homes with their own children.
Yeah.
They'll allow them to sit. I love my children. I let them watch whatever they want on TV. Really? Well, you are brain dead. And you are living in the realm of stupidity, that you let them watch whatever they want. So if they want to turn on something that's pornographic, you let them do that.
Mm.
No. You gotta. If you really love, you love in truth, and then you speak the truth in love, and that creates capacity in people. You know.
And I like the way you said that. It's love in truth, and that's 3 John verse 1.
Yeah.
The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth.
In the truth.
And then in Ephesians 4:15, we give the truth in love. So the two are together. You don't have one without the other. And it's the same with the Spirit. It's like, and I like what you brought out there about the truth connected to the Spirit. How do I decipher between the gifts of the Spirit and false manifestations? It's the Word of God. These things in 1 Corinthians 2:14 are spiritually discerned. So the natural man cannot discern spiritual things. You can't even if you had the truth, you need the Holy Spirit. And even if you had the Holy Spirit, he should lead you to truth.
Absolutely.
And I like how you brought 1 John 4:1, 1 through 6 and 7, because it says, okay, try the Spirit.
To find out.
And if you read verse 2, verse 3, verse 4, what is the number one way you try the Spirit? It's the Word of God.
Yeah, the truth.
He says it right there. He says, you use the truth to test the Spirit. You use the Spirit to open the truth.
Yeah.
The connected.
Like the truth. Oh, well, you know, the Spirit told me not to tithe. Oh, really? Too bad the Bible, which is the truth, already told you to tithe. You know? And how many people can do things contrary to the truth and say it's the Spirit's leading?
Yes.
That's it's subjectivity, and it can be this seductive religious subjectivity.
Really?
Whereas people can really enter into all kinds of ways of doing things that are contrary to the truth.
Mm.
And that's very, very sad today, because that grieves the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the grieving of the Holy Spirit. I think the Holy Spirit is grieved. By the way, the word grieve means lupeo, suffer loss.
Yes.
So I think when we have the Spirit of God living in us, because we're born again, we have no truth, he's grieved.
Mm.
He's grieved because there's no truth.
Mm.
And he is the Spirit of truth, but I don't care about truth. How many churches do you think that the Holy Spirit is grieved over because there's no truth? All it is religious ceremonies. All it is emotionalism. All it is a fair show on the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
All it is things that are external. And the Holy Spirit, rather than people have this idea, this is the Holy Spirit, the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. No, you're absolutely wrong. Actually, the Holy Spirit is very grieved at what's taking place. Instead of you're so messed up, you think it's the manifestation of the Spirit, when actually the Spirit's being grieved because things are happening contrary to truth.
I want to take you back to that word we talked about, anointing, because there's a lot of Christianity that hides under the anointing as an excuse to be divorced from Scripture. And I want to bring something you brought out, 5 false anointings. I think you remember these. I'm going to rehearse your memory here.
Let's do that.
There's the intellectual false anointing.
Right. And let's go one at a time.
Okay.
Contrary to truth.
Yes.
Contrary to the mind of God and the Word of God. So it is a intellectual anointing with a lot of academia,
yes,
but nothing with precise doctrine and truth. The second one.
Emotional false anointing.
Okay, there's the emotions operating contrary to truth again. In other words, it's emotions, but it's not the affections of God. Then there's the manipulation of the will.
Yes.
Correct?
Exactly correct.
Right. The manipulation of the will, when somebody is manipulating a person and they're not just drawing them to God's love and God's heart to say yes to the will of God.
Mm-hmm.
Then there is a conscience attached to morality.
Dang, you're right.
And it's not the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
It's moral values and moral standards, but not the Spirit. You know, you that are without sin, cast the first stone.
Yes.
They want to stone her because she was caught in adultery, but he's saying that you also are living in sin because of the way you're judging her. Then there's a self-consciousness void of God's new person image, the new man. So these are 5 false anointings. So you can see the mind, rather than the mind, it's really something that's taking place and using the Scriptures to actually be legalistic and really damage people.
Yep.
Emotionalism without truth, manipulation of the will, the conscience attached to false standards rather than the word of God and a self-image. And if you get that, that's the soul. Those are the mm-hmm. five parts of the soul. And without the spirit, mm-hmm. forget it.
So you put that, so we can say equivocally that, unequivocally, we can say this, you can't function in an anointing of the spirit without a connection to the truth.
Absolutely.
That's it.
Absolutely. Because isn't the truth, what does it mean, the anointing, to be set apart?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What does John 17:17 say?
Yes.
Right? Set apart by truth. Okay. Mm-hmm. Isn't that what it says there?
Yes, sir.
17:17, set apart by truth. So the anointing is what it means to be set apart. So how can I say I have the anointing when there's no Bible involved in my ministry or in mm-hmm. my life mm-hmm. or in my preaching or in my teaching or in my ministry, in my family and whatever's going on? There's no truth. I can't say I'm anointed of God.
Mm-hmm.
That, oh, yeah, you are anointed, but it's a soul power anointing.
Wow.
It's the anointing of the soul, not the spirit.
Mm.
And there's danger. And some people, they don't have discernment. Discernment, diaquino, diaquesis, is able to distinguish what is of God and what is not of God.
Yes.
And some people, without truth, you try to do that, you cannot do that.
Mm-hmm.
Without the truth of God's word, how do you discern, distinguish what's of God and what's not of God?
And that's the area I think we fail the most to discern, is the person and the work of the Spirit,
yeah.
because we do it without the Word of God.
Right, right. We do it through subjectivity.
Mm-hmm.
We do it through maybe movements that are taking place
mm-hmm.
and how they measure up, or they are above or below those movements or
okay.
whatnot. So we don't do it through the Spirit. Do we have another caller? Or no?
I want you to also mention real quick, bring this out. You can reach us locally at 410-483-3700 and at 1-800-338-7060 internationally. We'd also love to hear your questions as well. This is a very wide and, I would even argue, controversial subject, the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, because we are quick to accuse people that's not the Holy Spirit or that is the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
We often indict. And there might be a church, and here's an argument, Pastor Billy. Maybe some people, this church has an emphasis in the Holy Spirit. Would you say that that church is necessarily operating under the true authority of the Holy Spirit?
Well, you know, once again, we would have to take a look at, like, is this a new church?
Okay.
Immature church, never been taught.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe people that are gathering together. I've met people that gather together and they really don't know.
Okay.
They're looking for truth. No one's spoke to them about truth. But obviously, without truth, Where are we going?
Mm-hmm.
Without the truth of the Bible, and we're saying that this is something spiritual that's taking place.
Mm.
Well, how can that be if it's contrary to the truth? I mean, maybe it's not contrary to the truth. Maybe people just don't know, and God cares for them.
Mm.
They are infants. They are infants in the ministry, infants in Christianity. So it would be kind of hard to just categorize everything in one particular way.
Okay. So I guess, because a lot of times now, one of the top 10 names you see for churches is the Holy Spirit, dun 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 dun, dun, and you come in and everything is the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, and there's
no truth.
It's missing, or it's very marginally small. You follow me? It's very small.
Which is once again, Satan hates the truth.
Mm.
Hath God said? What's the first thing he said to humanity?
Yeah.
In Genesis 3,
mm-hmm.
Can it really be that God said, you cannot eat of this tree? He's questioning God's word. And so not only does he question God's word, the question is going to lead him to be taking the next step, which is to take God's word out.
Mm.
Question it. And if he can question it, then people begin to wonder about whether it really is God's word. Before you know it, he's coming in another door to take the word of God out. And hasn't that happened in churches today?
Sure.
We've seen churches all over the world.
Sure.
I've seen a lot of them in Africa where there's very little emphasis on the Bible.
Mm.
There are no Bible schools. There is no Bible teaching. I remember, like, I asked a person one time in a certain country, like, how many Bible schools are here? And they said, I think I know of one in the north of the country. One Bible school.
Yeah.
But thousands and thousands and thousands of churches.
Mm-hmm.
But yet churches that never train people in God's word, which is very sad. And by the way, they have fallen into the satanic trap.
Mm-hmm.
They've been seduced away from the truth
mm-hmm.
and even have been, even I think there's been things that have taken place in churches that seem to be miracles. And are you sure they are miracles from God?
Well, that's the rub. You come into a service, so you're dealing with people, and they say, this person has this special gift, this person has the ability to do this and to do that, and we almost deify them. They get a place of prominence because of what they can do, so then people in the church want to do what they do, or they give this reverence to that person because of what they do, and you have this question, is that the Holy Spirit? Is that not the Holy Spirit? And they often run to their experience.
Yes.
Because, I had this experience. I know it was God. I sensed it. And maybe it was and maybe it wasn't. But my experience in the Spirit should always lead me back to the Word at some point.
Would you say that when you looked at Acts chapter 5, wow, you mean like God killed two people in church that were actually bringing money in an offering? They lied to the Holy Spirit. They said, this is what we sold the land for. No, they didn't.
Yeah, yeah.
And Peter said, while it was yours, nobody even told you you had to sell it. But you came and you lied to the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. You lied about that. And so, really, you mean the Holy Spirit actually was the one who did that in Acts chapter 5? Well, go read the Bible. Just read the Bible. So,
wow.
Things can take place. The Holy Spirit can lovingly discipline us as his children, as a father disciplines a son.
Mm-hmm.
Discipline can take place. That's the ministry of the Holy Spirit, teaching the truth, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Wouldn't the Holy Spirit lead people in to evangelize? Wouldn't the Holy Spirit lead people to love one another? He's a spirit. He sheds the love of God abroad in our hearts, Romans chapter 5, verses 5 through 8. So the leading of the Holy Spirit. So people get off in all these tangents, but what about the Spirit and the truth, the Spirit and love, the Spirit and the church, the Spirit and the gospel, the Spirit and the eternal purpose of God?
Yeah.
There's five ministries right there, five aspects of the ministry of the Holy Spirit that sometimes are not even thought about.
No, the Spirit, we want the power.
And the Word. Right,
we want the miraculous power of the Holy Spirit, and like you said, we really don't understand the person of the Holy Spirit,
right? And his relationship to truth, his relationship to the church, his relationship to the purpose of God—all these things that I just
said—and
we kind of like go past those and are looking for certain visible or emotional manifestations, and yet the very foundations of what the Holy Spirit does are avoided, are whatnot. And I think it's a trap of the enemy. Get people involved with that which is taking place externally and by sight and outwardly, and never ever get them involved. Let's keep people from being involved with the ministry of the Holy Spirit, which is to teach people the Bible, which is to draw people to the church and the body of Christ, which is to bring people to evangelize, which is to lead people to prayer, which is to show people the eternal purpose.
Beautiful. If you're listening to the program today, this has been a great capstone on this whole week of talking about the filling and the leading and discerning of the Holy Spirit. It's been great to be with you this week. If you have never received Jesus Christ and you're hearing this program and you've never made a decision to invite Christ into your life as your Lord and Savior, today you can make a decision to receive the person of God, to receive the gift of salvation, to be born again, to become a Christian. Simply put your faith and trust in the person and work of Jesus Christ, and Christ will come into your life and make you his own. You will become God's child. You'll become his son. You'll become his daughter. We'd love for you to help you. If you have made the decision, right into the Grace Hour, let us know that I did choose Christ, and I did choose Christ as my Lord and Savior. We'd love to help you in any way. This weekend, specifically Saturday here at 6025 Arabia Park Drive, there is GGCA's graduation at 1 p.m. We'd love you to come out and be a part of it, to watch them go forward in life. Launched from a Christian high school, graduation. We'd love to have you come out. 1 o'clock, 6025 Moravia Park Drive.
Is there church on Sunday?
And there's church on
Sunday. Yes, there is.
There's church on Sunday at 9 a.m., 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. We have services three times on Sunday, once again at 6025 Moravia Park Drive, and Wednesday at 7. We'd love to hear from you. God bless you and have a great weekend. See you next week. Next week, perseverance. What does it mean to persevere? Perseverance. Next week on the Grace Hour. God bless you.